This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sherrod Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez and Kusu Chuang with the top business stories of the day. The pain isn't ending for Tan Sri William Cheng because his steel, personal computer and property development firm, Lion Diversified Holdings Berhad, may no longer be a viable concern. At least that's what their auditors, Ernst & Young, are saying.
Yeah, it's one of those red flags that appear on company accounts when your auditors are saying, well, we can't find the stuff that you're declaring you're having. We can't find enough audit evidence to give you an informed opinion. Therefore, we're going to reserve judgment. But what we're going to say is this, okay? You have significant doubts over the ability to continue as a going concern. And you don't have enough assets to discharge your liabilities in the normal course of business. So, do you know what I mean? So, when you see those messages from your external auditors, typically you get very, very worried.
Yes, of course. You know, at the end of the day, one of the key things is Ernst & Young basically argues that it's got net losses of 65.9 billion at a group level, and at a company level, it's actually 132.2 million. So its current liabilities exceeded its current assets by, get this, 869 million at group level and 190 million at a company level. So they may not be able to realize their assets and discharge liabilities.
Yeah, so I did some checking, and actually Lion Diversified has been, you know, recording losses since at least 2010. And I think a lot of the problems really stem from the fact that at one point in time, they used to be one of the biggest steel producers in the country. And then cheap Chinese imports came flooding into the Malaysian market, as it did with the rest of ASEAN and, in fact, the global region. And that's really crippled many steelmakers' businesses. So they haven't had the same kind of revenue levels from about at least 4 years ago. They've had, you know, they've basically seen a huge diminution of their revenues. And only basically in the last financial year, only property development has been able to stop some of those losses.
Yeah, so one of the things is, you know, Tan Sri William Cheng is one of those tycoons. He used to be one of Malaysia's richest men. In fact, in 2013, he was actually number 31 on Forbes Malaysia's 50 richest men and net worth of about $300 million. But obviously, his fortunes have slipped since then.
Okay. Also in the news, from one tycoon to another, top glove chief Tan Sri Lim Wee Chai has emerged as a 10.24% shareholder in the property developer Tropicana Berhad. Incidentally, a company controlled by Tan Sri Danny Tan,
who, if you don't know, is actually the brother of the Berjaya head honcho, Tan Sri Vincent Tan. So Danny is not a slouch either. He controls Tropicana Berhad. It's about a 1.4 billion ringgit odd market cap property developer. They've got stuff all over the country. They've got huge projects in KL with Kota Damansara, Tropicana Heights in Kajang, Tropicana Metro Park in Subang Jaya. Everybody knows Tropicana Golf and Country Club. They've also got some stuff in Danga Bay and this kind of waterfront city. They've got these huge you know, projects down south. And the thing is, Tan Sri Lim Wee Chai has bought a 10.2%. In fact, he used to own about 2-odd%, and then he bought an additional 8.5% in the business. Now he's a 10.24% direct shareholder. He's been made the deputy chairman. And he just, you know, this whole stake bump cost him a mere piffling 140 million ringgit cash.
For a billionaire like him.
Cold hard cash, baby.
But you see, he loves property, right? In 2013, he bought the east wing of the Icon in Jalan Tun Razak. He paid 226 million in cash as well. But, you know, one of the things is, you know, Sherrod, property is very, very attractive.
Yeah, but before we get there, I want to ask you, because we've had this story about Top Glove and this billion ringgit they were going to use to acquire something. And there's been a lot of speculation as to what they were going to acquire. And this is distinct. This story about the purchase of Tropicana is distinct from the Top Glove acquisition. Is that correct?
Yeah, Tan Sri Lim Wee Chai is playing Martin Scorsese here because he's holding the entire market on tenterhooks. Before he comes out with the main act, he has a little small act in store. And this is what it is.
And this is private.
This is private. He's using his own personal P&L to pay for this. But you know what, Brian? Everybody knows this, right? We've been talking about this ad infinitum on radio. Property is a great business to be in. It is enjoying a whole clutch of macro factors like urbanization. The government itself wants everybody to own a home. So they're giving you affordable housing initiatives.
And then but there's been an implicit criticism of businessmen who go from perhaps, you know, slightly more technologically advanced businesses and then sort of slouch back into kind of the analog rather than, you know, the low-hanging fruit is, I understood, was the criticism that we've been hearing from you and others in the studio for more than a week now.
I know, but we always do this, I mean, over time, because the thing is, leverage allows developers to scale up. They can ring fence the risk within one development company, and it's easy to enter the business. You buy land, you design a home, you apply for licenses, sell it to the public in advance of construction, preserve your capital. So easy money, basically, and easy pickings for a lot of people.
It's a great business. I mean, that's why everybody, you know, from media companies, right? So everybody under the sun goes to the property. I mean, there are individual developers as well. And be what it is. I mean, it might be analog in 20th century, but it makes enough coin.
Now we move on to Felder Global Ventures. Felder Chairman Tan Sri Shahril Abdul Samad says that FGV, or Felder Global Ventures Holdings, new management should focus on maximizing returns. He told the Malaysian Reserve, and I'm going to quote him here, says, "I would like them to be good businessmen. They need to run it like a business. They should prioritize maximizing returns and increasing dividends. I've said I would like to see a 5-cent dividend."
See, what's scary about that, Chuang, is this. He actually has to say, I would like them to be good businessmen and run it like a business. Now, if you look at the fortunes of FGVs, it's gone south since its listing. Now, it was the second largest IPO in 2012. It basically was listed with a cash reserve of 5 billion ringgit. But as of March of this year, it only had 1.87 billion ringgit. Now, get this, from a dividends perspective, he wants them to pay out 5 cents per share, right? So, in the peak that it paid dividends, it was 16 cents. Last year, they only paid 1 cent. So, this is how bad the situation has been at FGV.
Well, that 16 cent per share dividend was actually the year after they listed. So they got to, you know, show they're doing something, right? But what is really a little bit disconcerting about this information is the fact that the chairman says FGV's got to be run like a business. So what has it been doing running like the last 4 years? Not a business? Maybe something else?
Now, according to the Malaysian Reserve, Felder has not presented its audit records to Parliament since 2015. And Shahril promises that they will be presented by March next year.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I mean, the accounts have not been presented for the financial year 2015. That's a worrying thing from a governance standpoint, you know, pretty shocking. So let's hope that they move on with this.
Well, I guess what the bit of a silver lining in the playbook here is that the CEO, Dato' Zakaria, is back in the fold. And, you know, we talked about this some time ago. He was the guy that was one of them in a way because his dad was a planter. Bloomberg actually wrote a nice little story about him. So the fact that he's back in the fold and he's back to see out the transformation program maybe bodes well for the business.
Yeah, so one of the things they've talked about is, of course, Shahril said that Felder is looking to dispose some of the assets to improve its cash flow. They basically made about 7 acquisitions between January 2013 and at the end of 2016. So I think one of the ways, obviously, that's going to improve that is, I mean, the multi-billion dollar assets, everything from Pontian plantations for 1.2 billion to, assets in the UK and so forth. So it'll be interesting to see the developments now at FGV.
Also in the news, Denko Industrial Corporation, Berhad, Executive Chairman and Controlling Shareholder, Dato' Sri Fuchijuan, plans to inject his privately owned plastic injection molding firm into Denko for an indicative price of 1.19 billion ringgit.
Yeah, so this they've made a bursa filing on 23rd of October for that they would satisfy the 1.19 billion with the allotment of 1.03 billion new shares in Denko. And that would basically be for the acquisition of 6.2 million shares in IMS. Now, interestingly enough, this purchase price is 8.9% of Denko's market value of 1.33 million at the time.
No, it's actually, you mean 9 times?
8.9 times.
Yeah. Sorry, 8.9 times.
So they're buying something which is nearly 10 times their size. But yes. So is it bad for shareholders? Is it going to be prejudicial? The market doesn't seem to think so, because Denko shares actually rose to a 13-year high. And just on the back of envelope calculations, because the company did announce that IMS is actually a company which does about 80 million ringgit of after-tax profit, which is about 15 times earnings, which ain't bad. It's not a big premium. And the fact that they have priced new Denko shares at 155 per share versus the closing price of, 115 per share versus the closing price on that day of 128 seems to be all right as well, reasonable.
Are there any corporate governance issues in this deal?
Well, only on an outward basis, because it is the owner of Denko injecting his own private business into the listed company. But just on what we just discussed, it appears to be okay.
Okay, we'll be coming up to the news shortly, and after that we'll be back with the Breakfast Grill. Our guest this morning, Roberto Benatello, CEO of the European Union Malaysia Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.